Silence.
Oppenheimer.
I think they're talking about us. No way.
I myself am strange and unusual.
This is Nerd Pride Radio.
Nerd alert.
These nerds are a threat to our way of life.
See, this is the stuff that brings nerds together.
So it's sort of social. Demented and sad, but social, right?
If I'm interested in it, then by definition, it is nerdy.
Are you in loser denial or something?
I'm a nerd, and I'm pretty proud of it.
My dad's a nerd.
And welcome to episode 151 of Nerd Pride Radio. 151, I had two ways to go with this. Either Bacardi 151, which is obviously the most popular Google search for the number 151, or I could have gone with the original 151 Pokemon from the original Pokemon game. Oh, which one's more appropriate? Yeah, I'm going to go with Pokemon. Let's do that one. Ask me how I'm doing today. Go on. Ask me.
How are you doing today?
Thank you for asking me, Noah. I am awesome. My name is Mike Jones. I am a D&D / Pathfinder nerd, a history nerd, a sci-fi nerd, a comic book nerd, computer nerd, movie nerd, comedy nerd, science nerd, gaming nerd. Plus, there's like seven other kinds of nerd I only wish I was nerdy enough to be. You are listening to Nerd Pride Radio, the place I go every week to haver on about all the nerd stuff that just won't fit in my skull anymore. My co-host this week is yet another empty chair because, and again, in honor of R2-D2, I don't know if any of you followed the news on my website, but about a week ago, a strange warning light came on in my wife's car, one that we had never seen before, but which for all the world looks like a bomb ready to go off. And so clearly we understood the message that a bomb in the vehicle had been activated, and on doing some further research, turns out the only way to shut it off would be to replace the right or left rear taillight in my wife's car. And I was going to do it, but as I explained on the boards, I don't negotiate with terrorists. That's just part of our family rules. We don't negotiate with terrorists. So I decided to let it go. We would call their bluff and see what happened. And after about 5 days, R2 turned up missing. And so the whole R2-D2 pimped out Potomatic bubble, the entire thing, he's just gone. And there was a ransom note that accompanied it. I've also put that on the forums at nerdprideradio.com/nerds. And the ransom note said, "Do not test us. Please fix the light." No, not please. There was no please in it. It was "Do not test us. Fix the light or R2 gets it." It was something like that. Obviously a threat. And so again, before when I thought it was a bomb in the van, I was kind of willing to let that slide. But now with R2 gone, I mean, how am I going to have a podcast? So I changed the light in the car, and yet R2 is not yet back. And so I don't know what to do about it. All right. Will you be my R2 noises for the course of this show? Okay. So, all right, good. I have a substitute R2. I have some dice in my hand so that when we get to the Pod-O-Matic, I was gonna break out, because I bought new dice when I was at Gen Con, but I'm not. I'm gonna break out the old dice from the kangaroo scrotum that I keep them in, and the old dice that are R2-D2 themed. So the set I have in my bag, in my scrotum, matches exactly the set that would be in R2 if R2 were here, which he is not. So, we're going to get to Pod-O-Matic in just a second. That's actually going to be the primary thrust of the show here. But before I do that, what do I have in my meticulously plotted portion? Cause this, normally the meticulously plotted portion of this podcast is the time for me when I talk about whatever's been on my mind for the last week. If something strikes me as interesting during the course of my busy, busy week, I add it to my master list, and the very best stuff off of that list will get spewed out all over you guys every week when I record. You lucky dogs! But on the master list, the only thing I really have is, podcast stuff. It's just stuff about other podcasts that I listen to. And let's see. All right, one of them, because I listen to a podcast called Flash Forward with the host is Rose Eveleth, and I think it's through Gizmodo. I think they're the ones that actually put it out. But on Flash Forward, every week she talks about a potential future, and then she gets on experts and people with opinions, and they discuss how this potential future would play out and what might happen as a result of it. And sometimes they are very realistic things, and sometimes they are just really silly. You know, so, for example, what if the moon suddenly disappeared? All right, and then they had a whole show about it. But other ones are things that are more possible, ones that talk about climate change and stuff like that. And so the latest one was, what would happen if the government outlawed meat? If everyone was forced to a mandated vegan diet, because, you know, whether for sustainability reasons or for ethical reasons, but whatever. And as they explained it, this is the first time I've listened to someone talk about, giving up meat that I actually saw the point. I mean, because for me, ethically, an animal is an animal, an animal is property, and I don't really have a problem with killing animals for food or clothing or whatever. That works out fine for me. When they talked about sustainability, and I don't even have the numbers in front of me here, but they talked about sustainability and they talked about how 26% of the landmass of the U.S. is devoted to either food animals or the crops specifically to feed food animals. And 26%. So, I mean, look, if we suddenly mandated that the whole world had to go vegan, it's not like that 26% is just automatically going to be recovered, and revert to some natural state. You know, we would still then have to use some of that to grow whatever food we're substituting for the animals we're not eating, but it would be far less than what we're using now. And there would be a huge long process of figuring out how to reclaim that land and how to turn it to something useful that isn't just an overgrown fire hazard. I mean, you can't just take barren land and then just let the weeds grow and see what happens. Someone has to be responsible for maintaining this land until it can be nurtured back to health, as it were. So, you know, it would be long and complicated, but 26%, all right? When they talk about 15 to 20% of greenhouse gas emissions come from, food stock, livestock. Really? I had no clue. And they went on and on about it. Now most of the people she had on the show were, the ones that were vegan and vegetarian, did so for ethical reasons. I personally, again, they weren't very convincing to me. I wish she had had someone on there who was vegan for sustainability reasons, because that was a convincing argument to me. But of course I look at my food lifestyle I mean, you know, it seems like a good idea, and might it be healthier for me in the long run? Probably so, but man, I don't know if I could do it. I just don't, I mean, but I'm tempted. I'm tempted to try just to see what happens. But, man, that seems tough. Anyway, it was just an interesting note. I was going to develop it further and then decided that I'll just leave it as a tiny, tiny, wow, that's interesting. Let's see. And then the other one, I was listening to a podcast called Imaginary Worlds. And Imaginary Worlds is hosted by a guy named Eric Malinsky, who is also a public radio host. He does public radio work. That's all the detail I have. But he talked about finding his voice. And he talked about played some clips of his early radio features and brought on his editor from those days. And they talked about, you know, how it was finding his voice. Cause apparently when he first got into radio, he sounded a lot like Ira Glass, because This American Life was huge and it was, public radio huge. And it was what brought a lot of people into, broadcasting into public radio. And so, you know, clearly he, like a lot of other young people at the time, wanted to sound like Ira Glass. And so there was a lot of that bled over into his work, and it took a while for him to find his voice. And it was fascinating. I love Imaginary Worlds. It's a great podcast. But as he was talking about it, I know I've talked here about finding my voice on this podcast, and a lot of what it is, because I've been listening to a lot of podcasts lately, new ones that I haven't listened to before, which is weird because ever since Camp Cedars, I mean, what, 2 months ago, I have been so far behind on my listening. I just can't seem to get caught up. I'm getting close now, finally. Just as summer is coming to an end, school's about to start, I'm finally getting caught up, and I can start listening to some of the short story podcasts and things like that that are kind of filler for me whenever other things run out. Of the ones I've been listening to, I've been trying out a lot of new ones. I want to just kind of mix it up, see if there, because there's some older ones that I've kind of gotten tired of and I've pushed them aside. And so I wanted to see if there was other things to introduce in the mix. And every time someone recommends something, okay, I'll add it in. We'll see how it goes. And I've listened to several podcasts lately that I realize, that because they have very interesting content, they're fascinating. It's fascinating subject matter. And yet I find myself really not wanting to listen to it. And I finally realized it's the voice. It's the podcast voice that they're using. It is podcasts with, you know, several people sitting around. It's usually, you know, it's an amateur production, which is fine. Mine's an amateur production. I got nothing against that. But I realized that they're talking. Oh, that's Eli, by the way. He has got his headphones on and he is gaming right here next to me because I'm using his space at the table to do my recording. This is really the best seat. If you're going to sit at this table with a laptop. And so I've shoved him out of the way. So he's gaming nearby. So you guys might hear him clicking and coughing over there, which is fine. I realized one of the things about the – would you stop with the clicking? Yeah, we get it. One of the things – and no, it's not R2 time yet. One of the things about the voice that I use for this podcast is I've mentioned that I'm very happy, positive, upbeat, and which is how I am a lot of times in real life, but I kind of highlight that, accentuate that on the podcast because I like to be excited about stuff. That's the whole point of this podcast, is bringing you stuff that I'm excited about. And I've been listening to several podcasts that, you know, again, it's subject matter I really want to like, but they just don't seem thrilled to talk about it. I mean, obviously they're creating a podcast because it's a subject matter that is fascinating to them. But once they get on the microphone, they just, oh man, they need to amp it up a little bit. I'd like to hear some excitement. I'd like to hear the excitement in their voice that reflects why it is that they came doing this. And I started thinking about all of my favorite podcasters out there. And the ones that I really like are the ones that bring that level of excitement about their subject matter. Even someone like, Howard Stern, who is not a podcaster, he's a radio personality, but even someone like Howard Stern or someone like Mark Maron, who ultimately I don't listen to either one of them for other reasons, because I feel that they are both pessimistic people who bring a lot of pessimism to what they talk about, although I love listening to them in short spurts because they're excited about what they talk about. They bring a level of enthusiasm and just energy to what they're doing. And I really enjoy that. Again, you know, ultimately had to stop listening to them for other reasons. But again, all my favorite ones, all the ones that I keep coming back to over and over. I mean, Nerdist has to be the best example. Everyone involved with the Nerdist podcast, Chris Hardwick, his co-hosts, his producer, everybody who's in that room with their guests every week, is just thrilled to be there, excited to be a part of it, excited to be spending time with this guest and getting information out and just sharing stuff. I love that. I love that. That's what I want to be like. So, am I sharing anything new? Probably not. But again, just want to talk about, was there something else I had for podcasts? No. Oh, did I even run? Shoot. I didn't even run. This is the Pod People segment and I didn't even run my Pod People. Here, get over here. I'll have Noah do it. That way I don't have to insert music later. Ready? It's time for Pod People.
Pod People. Pod People.
One more.
Pod People.
That's it. I love Noah. So anyway, but that was the Pod People segment. We're all done with that. And now I need Noah back here. Noah? Now it's time for the Pod-O-Matic. You do the noise. That's going to be our R2 this week. Oh, and I rolled the dice. Sweet. Hot dog. This is the Nerd Pride Radio Pod-O-Matic. At the end of every cast or right near the beginning like I'm doing now, I bring out R2 normally in this fully pimped out Pod-O-Matic bubble, which obviously I don't have because someone kidnapped him. So instead I've brought out Noah, not in a Pod-O-Matic bubble, and
fully pimped out Pod-O-Matic room.
Yes, this fully pimped out Podomatic room that we're in, and a set of dice. And Noah here is going to help me roll up random topics for me to talk about. And where do these topics come from, you ask? Well, that is where you guys, as my awesome listening audience, come in. You want to hear me haver on about something? You send your question, topic, observation, random string of characters and words. You send it to me at nerdprideradio.com/nerds. Send me a private message. See, I'm going off script. I just lose my trail. Oh, yeah, that's right, because you can send it to me by Facebook. You can send it to me by email. You can send it to me by Twitter. You can hand me a note next time you pass me in the halls at school. But obviously the best way to get hold of me, nerdprideradio.com/nerds. Send me a private message. Send me your Podomatics. I will put them all on my Podomatic list. Podomatic is about whatever you want it to be. And my first number is 64. And I'm doing extra Podomatics this week, because again, this is a message directly to the kidnappers. We just want R2 to come home safe. That's all. You can see how much we miss him. All right. 64. 64 is from, oh, here it is. 64 is from Mrs. Darks. And Mrs. Dark says, what movie cliche do you want to go away forever? All right, Noah, what trope, what thing that happens in movies and happens in lots of movies over and over where they do the same kind of thing in all different films, which one of those would you like to see go away forever?
Well, this one is not forever, but I still don't like how it's used so often. In most Western movies, there's always a standoff, which I don't like.
You don't like that final standoff? Yeah.
As the final thing, it's okay, but like, continuously through the movie, uncool.
Can I say something?
You can say something, Eli. You want to come around?
Well, most Westerns nowadays are just kind of like comedy.
Really?
It's not really.
You'd like to see more serious Westerns, or you're just tired of Westerns?
Serious Westerns, there has only been a few I've heard of.
And most of them are more adult as well. There would not be in your wheelhouse, not something that you would run across. As for me, movie cliche that I want to have go away forever. It would be, I'm trying to pick among the various sexist, racist, transphobic, et cetera, tropes that I would like to see disappear, because really most of them. I am tired of, and this is, you can call this a cliche if you want. I am tired of movies that are, 80% male cast. I am tired of seeing people in movies who live in a world populated by males only, populated by every important figure that comes up is automatically male by default. That drives me nuts. That's not really a cliche. This is me just getting up on a soapbox and taking a stand, I suppose, and not even an original one, because lots of people have said this before me. But one of the things I love about BoJack Horseman is that in BoJack, every character that comes on screen for whatever reason is, you know, 50% likely to be male, 50% likely to be female. And granted, this is just a dumb animated cartoon, and it is really dumb and yet really powerful. I highly recommend BoJack. Season 3 is out right now. I haven't started watching it yet, but I'm going to be getting to it soon. But the idea that by default, characters are automatically male, and if you're telling a joke, if you've got a gag on screen, by default, everyone is male. If the character is going to be female, well, now you're distracting from the joke because, well, we already have a gag going here. Adding female somehow means you're adding another element to this character that doesn't need to be. Well, but why is being female an added element? And so in BoJack, their writers, producers, have a very careful policy of don't make the assumptions. There's no reason that this gag doesn't work just as well with male, female, whatever. And it would be nice if a lot of movies are like that. The idea that Ghostbusters comes out and, you know, not to get on the Ghostbusters bandwagon again, but the idea that Ghostbusters comes out and the fact that they just took the original movie and just reversed the gender ratio. And now suddenly people are offended. Offended that there's just too many women in it, that we're trying to, that somehow to make this movie just do for women what 99% of all other movies in the world do for men, and somehow that's unfair, somehow that's, anyway. I'm tired of my soapbox. I gotta get down from there. I need Noah back because I'm rolling some dice. So, rolling dice.
Beep, bop, boop.
That is the worst R2 ever. I liked your first one better. I wish, actually, God, my wife is the one who suggested that we just imitate R2, and she gave me some examples, and she's really good at it, and yet she's not here. So, unfortunately, she's at school doing some work, and she can't be here to be my R2 for me. I begged her. I was like, oh, come on, you have to do this for me. At least let me take some recordings, and I'll just splice them in later, something. Eh, she wouldn't do it. So, anyway, the number that my dice and Noah just rolled is 55. And 55 is... It's from... Oh, there it is. It's from Mrs. Darks again. Okay. Mrs. Darks asks... How's Dothan dealing with being away from her, and then in parentheses, adorable, crush? Yeah, Dothan is my character in Pathfinder. She is a teenage girl who is a bard, meaning she does a lot of singing and performing. She's kind of a support staff for the group. So she doesn't usually have a whole lot of direct action herself, but she does support everybody else. And Dothan has a girl that she is infatuated with who... lives in the little town of Sandpoint, which is where our adventure started and where we keep coming back to. And we have now, on the latest leg of our mission, I think we've been away for like 2 weeks, 3 weeks that they've been apart. And, when I say crush infatuation, it's you know, they've had what's essentially amounts to two dates and really not even that. But they really like each other, and it's very cute, and now she's away a lot. And so, yeah, Dothan is dealing with it by, having ADHD and simply distracting herself with anything and everything else, and only starts to really worry about it in the quiet hours of the night or once they're finally on their way back, which they have been. They're actually back now and just about to fight a dragon, where her adorable crush is now, being threatened as one of the townspeople. The whole town is being threatened now by giants and dragons. So, again, she distracts herself by throwing herself into the events and, let's do battle. Ultimately, again, she worries. She worries about it a lot, but not, I mean, there's nothing she can do. And she recognizes that, ultimately, she either has to find a lifestyle that settles down or she's not going to be able to have relationships, because who's going to put up with you being away for 2, 3, 4 weeks at a time where you are probably in danger of getting yourself killed while saving the world all the time. That's a horrible way for people to live. But also, at this point, I mean, they're two teenage girls who, this is, first crush, first love. It's probably doomed to failure eventually anyway. I've kind of always had that at the back of my mind that sometime, some way, this is going to come to an end as Oshar, who is the other girl, as she finally says, I can't do this anymore, or I found somebody else, or who knows what. But ultimately, we'll see how it pans out. So, alright. I just got a call from Aiden saying that he is ready for me to come pick him up, which means I'm going to put this on pause. I'm going to go get Aiden, and when I come back, he'll do some more Podomatics with me. This will be awesome. Okay. I'm back. And I've brought Aiden with me, and I've explained to him what's going on with R2. So I'm going to roll up another one. Aiden, you want to fill in for me this time?
Sure.
Here, do it.
Boop.
Okay, I thought Noah had a really, really bad R2 impression. That was the worst. I could have done that one. But the number that we achieved is 19. So 19 comes from... Oh, God darn it. I'm in the wrong app. I suck at this game. There we go. All right. So we go all the way up to 19, which is from Kyle. And Kyle says, what time is peanut butter jelly time? Oh, peanut butter jelly time is...
The time when the internet starts.
Yes, the time when the internet starts. That's pretty good. When is a good time for a peanut butter and jelly?
3 o'clock in the morning.
Anytime you're hungry. The best snack is the one that you don't have to prepare at all. But peanut butter and jelly is simple enough, and the ingredients are almost always in there. It's a pretty good anytime snack. But Kyle then continues on and says, and is it better with a baseball bat? No. In fact, baseball is better with a baseball bat.
Wait. Now the philosophical question, is baseball better with a peanut butter and jelly?
Oh, yes. Baseball is definitely better if you have peanut butter and jelly sandwiches available in the dugout. Or if you just rub peanut butter and jelly on your baseball bat during baseball. That would... a better grip.
Okay, how I made friends today was I was sitting next to two girls during college orientation, and the president of our college, his last name is Chips, and so they're like, and President Chips, and my first reaction was, Chips. And the two girls next to me just burst out laughing. I'm like, I'm not that funny.
Ah! You're very charming. It runs in the family. That's exactly what I would have done.
It's funny because you're not.
Okay. I'm not. But still, I'd like to imagine that I would be that charming. That's really, I'm living vicariously through you. So, can you give me another R2 noise? If R2 were a cat, he would sound just like that. And our number is 08. So 08 comes from, it's from Master. Hey, Master. And Master says, okay, F, Mary, Kill. Godzilla, King Kong, or Aragog?
What's Aragog?
Let's get a picture for you.
You could have said Ghidorah and I would have gotten it, but Aragog? Seriously?
Aragog. See, fortunately, Aiden asks the question, so I can act like I already knew. Which I didn't. This is from the Harry Potter wiki. Let's see. Aragog has a taste for human flesh and what? Oh, who was Aragog? Now,
Acromantula, the big spider.
Oh, okay. Giant spider. All right, then. F. Mary Kill. Godzilla, King Kong, Aragog.
Hold on. Well, I would, F spider.
Really?
Yep. And, I would marry King Kong, because at least he has a heart for love, and I'd kill Godzilla.
Oh, that's pretty good. I would unfortunately, yeah, no, he's now pulling up pictures of Lolth for me, which is not helpful in any way, because I'm sorry, putting a hot female body on top of the giant spider doesn't make it any less of a giant spider. No. I squish that spider like a giant bug because that's all it is. And then I am convinced by his words to marry King Kong, because King Kong does truly believe in love. That only leads me to somehow find a way to have my night of passion with Godzilla. But you know what? I trust that she will be gentle with me. That's all I can say. All right.
Is Godzilla female?
It was in the Matthew Broderick movie.
Okay,
yes.
We don't count that, though.
Well, I am now.
Are you going to tell me that you really believe Godzilla evolved from a worm? Are you going to tell me that? Are you going to tell me that Godzilla doesn't stand upright?
There, that was my R2 impression. 95. I'm sorry, I wish I could let you go on with that rant, and I would have loved to have answered that question, but R2 jumped in. What am I supposed to do? 95 comes from... Oh, this one's going to be way down the list. And look at that. 95 is from Mrs. Darks. Whatever happened to Crazy Elf? Crazy Elf
is too Australian. We kicked him out.
Yeah, he's doing stand up in Australia, I assume. I assume he's still doing comedy. I'm Facebook friends with him, so I see stuff from him every once in a while. And if you say his name three times into a mirror, he'll appear on the forums at nerdpryradio.com/nerds and wish us a happy plane day. So he's around. He's about. He does his stuff. All right, Noah, it's your turn. Give me an R2 impression. That was terrible again. 39. 39 is from... I wish these dice clattered better on the table so you guys could hear them.
Can I do the next one?
Yeah, you can do the next one. 39 is from Master again. Master says, how is a raven like a writing desk?
What, are you mad?
All right, your turn.
Hello, and I am R2-D2. I enjoy traveling with my master, Luke Skywalker. Here is the next number.
71. 71 comes from Kyle. Hey, Kyle. Kyle says, list every job you've ever held in order of how much you've enjoyed them from best to worst. Okay. The best job I ever had, the one that I enjoyed the most, was driving cab for the college over in Wayne. It was one night a week, and I drove from 10 p.m. until 2 a.m., driving drunk college kids to and from parties and home and wherever else they wanted. And the service was paid for by the college to keep kids safe, and so therefore we would go out, and as long as you had a college ID, we would pick you up and take you where you needed to go. Awesome. And it was a ton of fun. That is the most fun ever at a job because everywhere, R2? Yes, you can do the next R2. Everywhere you go, people are glad to see you. They are thrilled to have you show up. They're always having a good time. And the job had a bit of logic puzzle at all times as you have calls coming in and you're plotting out the map in your head and figuring out the best way to go and how many people you can fit in the car and what are you going to do. I liked that. I liked it a lot. But, you know, it was 10 a.m. till 2 p.m. Once I drive back to town, get the cab gassed up, drop it back off, file the paperwork. Usually didn't get to bed till 3:30, and it was a Thursday night, so that meant every Thursday I got 2 hours of sleep before having to get up and go work at my day job, and thus it was way too hard on a body. I couldn't maintain that, so it was too bad. But that was the most fun I've had at a job. Second to that, probably. It depends. All jobs are fun for a while. You know, you love having a new job. You love meeting the people. You make friends and get close to the people you work with.
I beg to differ because I had a job that wasn't fun from the start, and I never found it fun until the day I was fired.
Yeah, well, no, that's true. I really like the job I'm working now, and I've been doing this for almost 20 years, and I really enjoy working. Yes, only 20. I really enjoy working with computers. I really enjoy the people I work with and support. It's a good job. The one before that, when I worked as a social worker, essentially, much less fun. That one would be way down the list. And even working in the house with disabled clients, that would also be well down the list. Those two are near the bottom. Probably cleaning the, cleaning the thrift store on base when I was, 14, 15? How old were we, Kyle? That was a miserable one because there was just so much. I mean, we had fun while we were there because it was just the two of us goofing around. But it was kind of tedious, and I don't think we quite grasped everything we were supposed to do, and I think we were in a little over our heads. That was more fun, however, than my least favorite job, which was delivering newspapers. That sucked. That thing was tedious and terrible. 13, 14? Something like that. But then in between, you know, waiting tables, I waited tables at a couple of different places. I scooped ice cream, at Baskin Robbins. Both of those were pretty fun. I mean, not spectacular, and they had a lot of weird stuff that went with them, but they were fun, you know, relatively speaking. I haven't done your question justice because I didn't do them in order, but that's where we're just going to leave off. Who wanted to go next? Is that you, Noah?
Yeah.
All right, Noah, you're up.
Mike Jones is an official nerd.
Well, that's true, R2. Thank you. Number 70. And 70 comes from... All right, where's my one from... Okay, there it is. That's from Kyle. Got it. All right, number 70. Oh, it's the very next one. Or no, the... Well, very next one going up. Because last one was 71. All right, this is from Ronster. And Ron says, what do you think the president's Pathfinder alignment is? Lawful good. Without a doubt, lawful good. And in fact, I think most presidents are in the vicinity of lawful good. Law for sure, and then either good or neutral, leaning towards good in most cases.
Okay.
It's just that their definitions of good vary from president to president.
So then I have a follow-up question.
Sure.
Who is the most negatively aligned president we've had?
That's a tough one. Nixon's an easy mark on that one because he did violate the law, the man was extremely paranoid and he seemed to be more about protecting himself than. But I don't know. I mean, I'm going to go with Nixon just because I don't know what's in the heart of most of these men. I don't know how many of them were. Were more self-serving than that. I don't know how many were. You know, I have no idea. I'm going to say Nixon just because modern presidents are the only ones that that I feel that we are really familiar with as a public. I'm sure there are other people, experts, history experts, who would love to give an opinion on this. And if you are one of those people, yeah, pipe up. Yeah, let me know who the most negatively aligned president of the United States was in your opinion. I'm down with that. All right, good enough. 16. 16 comes from, once again, I gotta quit clicking and clicking away. 16 comes from, there it is, it's from Kyle. Kyle says, how am I doing on my movie a day challenge? I took a month off in June when I was a month ahead. Did I get back on it? Yeah, you're still way ahead, dude. I mean, even when you're taking a month off, you're still watching some movies. You're not, I mean, you're certainly not out there writing a book, are you? So,
whoa!
So, well, he's busy. He has to watch a movie a day for a whole year. He has to record a brand new podcast. So he's got a huge new creative endeavor that he's putting all of his energies into. He doesn't have time for a book right now. And I completely understand that. I'm right there behind you. You are far further along in your trilogy than I am in mine, right? So, although actually, trilogy, I just realized today, me and Noah were talking while we were picking up donuts, and so we had gotten 7 donuts, and he decided that that was a baker's half dozen, because, you know, baker's just means whatever number you normally would have.
Round up, though.
Plus one. No. It's a half dozen plus one. It's a baker's half dozen.
Right. But if you think of it mathematically, you can't sell a half donut. So you'd have to round up.
Right. Well, either way, we were just taking on the premise that baker's just means plus one. So, if you want to be really cutesy, then, you know, when a new couple, they've been married, for the 9 months and they have their baby and then they can say, now they're a baker's couple. It's a couple plus one. Or I thought, my God, if, you know, I were musically inclined, what if I had, a 5-piece a string, what would you call that?
Quintet.
Well, yeah, okay, a quintet would be the proper word for it, but I was trying to come up with a
trilogy.
It doesn't make any difference. But then I would name my group the Baker's Quartet, and then there would be 5 of us, and everyone would just assume that one of us is named Baker, and that's why it's Baker's Quartet. But when you say Baker's Quartet, no, that just means there's 5 of us. It's a quartet plus one, which also means that the Twilight series of 4 books, it's a Baker's trilogy. See? So
don't try to justify them.
I'm just saying I thought it was clever. Anyway, you got back onto your movie a day challenge and you've been doing very well with it, and I actually really appreciate your top 5 best movies and top 5 worst movies on that list. I find those very informative, and I've been arranging my own projected viewing habits based on that. Not that I get to a lot of movies, but I'm trying. So I think it's fascinating. I'm really glad you're doing it for my own edification. I don't, and I assume that it's all family time because for the most part you watch all these films with your kids and you guys are hanging out and having fun. So, you know, good on you, man. That's really cool. All right. You want to do one more R2 impression for me? That was awesome. 93. 93 comes from... it's way down here. Hold on. We'll get it. Aha! 93 is from Zimny. All right, we can close on Zimny. If it's any good Zim, we'll see. If you were a Microsoft Office program, which one would you be? All right, Aiden, do you want to answer first, or do you want me to answer first? Do you need time to think?
Does PowerPoint count?
Yes, PowerPoint counts. Go ahead.
I'd be PowerPoint because no one understands me.
Oh, wow. That's pretty good. I understand PowerPoint. I'm a wizard.
You do.
Oh, that's so sweet. Damn it, I was going to say PowerPoint. All right, I know. I'll be, what's the, no, it's Microsoft, oh, darn it. I'm going to have to look it up. Maybe I even have it here. Let's find out. If I go to all programs, oh, I don't have all programs on here. Stupid Windows 10. Oh, let's make this really tough. Let's go down to Microsoft. Oh, I just saw it, didn't I? There we go. Microsoft Office 2013, full professional version, which I got for $10. What a great deal. Let's see. Access, database compare, really? Excel, InfoPath Designer, InfoPath Filler. Oh, I might be Filler. That's pretty good.
I see your Excel because you're pretty damn organized.
Oh, but I'm so not. Publisher, that's the one I want. I'll be Publisher. I can make things look really pretty, but ultimately, I'm not really needed. You know, don't really serve a purpose because you could do all this stuff in Excel or Word and probably do it better because you know Excel and Word so well. I mean, sure, is it nice to have columns and boxes that overflow from one page to another? Is it nice that I happen to instinctively know how to make a trifold pamphlet? Yeah, that's great. But how often do you really need that? So I'll be Publisher. There we go. And then that's the end. That's the end of our Podomatics. And now it is time, long past time, for us to get to, well, first I have to turn it over to GLaDOS. GLaDOS is going to have to give us our recap of the episode so far.
Remember when the platform was sliding into the fire pit and I said goodbye, and you were like,
no way.
And then I was all, we pretended we were going to murder you.
That was great.
This podcast is copyright 2016 by Nerd Pride Radio. The opening and closing theme is Death Metal Disco by Ian Kronk. My bumper music this week didn't use any. Let's see, if you want to do something nice for this podcast, you could subscribe to it in iTunes or whatever podcast app that you use. You've probably already done that part. But then also, go write me a review. Specifically, go write me an iTunes review, because people seem to be all hung up on those. But you can write me a review in whatever app you happen to use. Or, better yet, you could recommend it to a friend. You want to write that 5-star review? Write it and put it out on Facebook and tell people how awesome I am. Seriously, if you enjoy this, then go find somebody else that you think will enjoy it and let them in on the secret. Word of mouth is my bread and butter, people. Remember, I am always looking for you listeners to do my work for me, so don't forget to send me questions or topics for the Podomatic. Watch every week on the forums and Facebook for Listener Betrayal. And if you have a really interesting nerd fact about an upcoming episode number, send it to me. Save me all of that grueling research. Let's see. Oh, somewhere in here I should be inserting a stinger because I have a sound file from Pete that I didn't bother to bring over with me, but I will put that in right here.
Pride Network.
That's right, because Nerd Pride Radio is a proud member of the Nerd Pride Network. From Casting the Curious to Angry Geeks Versus, Me Like Trivia, to this very podcast, Nerd Pride Radio, we are quality nerd podcasts made by quality nerd people. Oh, check them all out. Enjoy them. You guys will love this stuff. Other than that, let's see my contact info. Mike@nerdprideradio.com, @nerdprideradio on Twitter, facebook.com/nerdprideradio. But to be completely honest, the very best way to talk to me is to come sign up for my forums at nerdprideradio.com/nerds. You sign up there, you send me a message, we will hang out together, we'll become best friends in the world. We'll have fun. And now it's time for Listener Betrayal. Before I start every podcast, I go out to the interwebs and on my forums at nerdpideradio.com/nerds and out on Facebook, and I post, hey, I'm recording something. Anybody who wants to get in on it can get in on it with me. So let's go on out to my interwebs and see what happens. If I start with Facebook, I've got two, and Facebook is first one from Master. Master says, on my way home from a Pokemon Go adventure in Nashville, Tennessee, there were lots of interesting people there. He is on his way home, and there were lots of interesting people at the, okay, got it. Who is the most interesting random person you have ever met? All right, interesting random person, like someone I just ran into out of the blue. It wasn't like, because, you know, one of the most interesting and fortuitous people I've ever met is Nelly. I think Nelly is awesome, but that was not random so much as she's been listening to my podcast for years, and my brother's podcast before that one, and then finally, made the formal introduction, and she's, you know, connected to Gen Con, and I got to meet her there, and that was not random, but it was extremely cool. Most interesting random person? I don't know for my whole life. I would have to think about this, because there's probably a dozen really good answers to this question. But
I have a good answer for it.
Okay, you give your answer first, and then I'll give mine. So, here.
So,
step up.
I'm moving the mic, sorry. So there I was at a one-act meet, and I'm 15 years old. And this was almost 4 years ago, mind you. And out of the blue, some girl sits next to me, and we have the weirdest conversation I've ever had at that point in my life. And that girl is still my friend to this day, so...
Yeah, one of your very best friends, in fact.
Yes.
But does it really count as random if she sat down next to you and picked you up because you're so hot?
Well, no, it wasn't because of that.
Really? Because are you sure at 14 you weren't just smoking hot?
I had the neck beardiest of neck beards.
That's true. Even at age 14 or 15, he was very neck beardy. That's very true.
With a real neck beard, mind you.
Yeah. Let's see, but my answer for me is just recently, and I mentioned her just in passing, was when we were at game night the other night, Vicky was a young lady who was there who played games with me, and her mom and brother were there, and we had some other people, but Vicky was just a joy to hang out with. She was, I don't know anything about her except she's there with her brother and her mom. I think she's college age. She mentions that we're introducing around the table, I'm like, I know you from somewhere. I'm talking to her brother. And then that's when Vicky pipes up and says, yeah, we were in the Missoula plays with your kids, with Jacob and Aiden. And then she went on to, you know, she remembered what plays they were in together, what roles they all played. But she was just such a joyful person. She had a great smile and was just happy. And it was a lot of fun hanging out. And everyone else at the table had some of that quality as well. I mean, we just had a really good time. But her in particular, I hope she shows up at future game night events because she was just fun to talk to and fun to interact with. Because again, you could just see that she was excited and happy about everything that was going on. It was a very infectious sort of joy. And I really liked that in a person. So it was very cool. Again, I'm sure there's a dozen really good answers to this question. And I'm just not going to think of them in time to make it worth putting on here yet. But if I come up with more, maybe I'll bring them back next week, because now this question is going to rattle around in my head. But Master's question is followed by Nelly. And Nelly says, if you were to color your hair, she says, that wasn't me. If you were to color your hair a crazy color or colors, what would it be? And what crazy cut would you get? And Would you do your facial hair too if you were really just gonna go for it? You wanna answer this one first?
Metallic white, blown back, and yes.
Really?
Yep.
Metallic white. So almost a silver?
Almost. Like a platinum, not quite.
Like a white, silver, okay, platinum. Wow. That would be really fascinating on you. That would be really cool. If I would, and this is a question that, you know, having just been to Gen Con, I've given a lot of thought to this question because it is amazing the sheer number of people who have purple hair while you're at Gen Con. There's a lot of them, not just Nellie and her husband, but lots of people. There was a lot of purple there, a lot of pink and green and blue and other awesome anime colors. But I would probably for myself, as I was thinking about that, I would probably go with a solid red. Like maybe a little bit darker than just a base red, but not deep enough to be a crimson or a brick red or anything like that, but like a solid red. And yes, I would absolutely wind up doing the beard as well. Because that's, again, I don't know the logistics of all that. I've never colored my hair, but I imagine it would be a ton of fun. And yeah, I would just go straight up red to start off with. Maybe not. Maybe blue. I don't care. I would, whatever. It would be fine. Or, there's also the possibility that you can also do, the beard. Like you can do the beard completely in whatever color you're going to get. Blue, white, doesn't matter. And then, immediately after you color it, shave the beard off, and then when it grows back in, it'll be just the tips will have that color in, all in a nice uniform, just the tips colored in white, which I have enough white in my beard that I don't think I would go with white tips, but you know.
It's funny because he's old.
Yeah, I am old. But I think it would be really cool to have my entire beard done with just blood red tips right on the end. That would be awesome. So, as far as a crazy cut, nah, I probably wouldn't do anything wild with the haircut. I would just stick with my standard haircut.
Yeah, I said blown back.
But yeah, he's got blown back. He's got really long hair at this point. So
yeah, that's why I wanted to.
I do not have that. But, yeah, I don't think I'd do anything wild with that. But, you know, it's just hair. God, you know, and it's also, it's not like you don't have the option of getting colors that wash out after a while. So it doesn't even have to be that permanent. So, oh, wow. All right. Aiden went over and fetched his DS and pulled up a picture of the hairstyle he's looking for. It's a little longer than his, but yeah, it's a silver white and the dude, I don't even know what game he's.
Monster Hunter.
It's from Monster Hunter, but the dude even has a beard that matches the color, trimmed up really short. And, okay, I can see that. I can see that. I'm sure your boss would appreciate that.
Yeah, he's cracking down on colored hair, though.
Yeah, well, but is white really colored? Yeah, see? White would be the absence of color. I'm pretty sure you won't get fired on the technicality, right? Right? Okay.
I should do this!
No, you shouldn't. I'm sorry I even said that. That was terrible of me. Let me make sure that there's no other Facebook posts, and I will write done. All right, we are done. And there's a message from my wife. My wife says, oh, wow, she's actually making a lot of progress at school. Whew, she's going to need my help in a little bit. We're going to have to go do that. All right, let's go on over to my forums. And, oh, this is bad. Wow, there is nothing here. Nothing.
Me, pick me.
Okay. Then in that case, I'm going to have my son, Aiden, betray me here since none of you were willing to do it. God, I was hoping I could let this sit around long enough that Kaz would come find it. But I guarantee you, you know what? I'm going to leave it open for just a little bit while Aiden betrays me. And then it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter because no matter what time I close this thread down, I will shut it down and within 15 minutes, Kaz will go, oh, God, I missed it again. I can't believe it. Which it makes me think it's a plot that he doesn't actually want to contribute. He just wants to make me feel guilty. I think that's what's going on. He's just sitting here waiting, watching for me to close it down so he can make his post. That way he can act like he, oh, God, I really wanted to make it to your party. Was that tonight? I'm so sorry. Oh, gosh, silly me. That's what you're doing, isn't it, Kaz? I knew it. All right. So from my son Aiden, go ahead. Number one, what's the first listener betrayal you want to put in?
How awesome is DM Darks?
So awesome.
It's also awesome holding his hand. I miss you, Darks.
Yeah, well, you'll get your chance next year. Are you going with us next year?
Oh, yeah.
All right, because we have hotels already lined up. Reservations are made. It's a little more expensive than I thought because it turns out that because I saw the numbers that Mrs. Darks put up for how much it was going to cost each of us, $183, by the way, for the whole four-night stay. Yeah, that's not bad. Not bad at all. And so I went and looked. I'm like, oh, my God, that is. Everybody's jacked up their rates a lot. But as the con keeps getting bigger, I mean, this year it was like, what, 60-some thousand people? As the con keeps getting bigger, the demand for those hotels within walking distance is going through the roof. In fact, it was even – I looked at the – we're staying at the La Quinta, but even the La Quinta South, which is, I don't even know that
that
was.
That sound familiar.
La Quinta, that's where we stayed last time.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, that's where we're staying again. But the La Quinta downtown, which is about a mile away, definitely has jacked up prices. But then even the La Quinta South, which I think is a little more than reasonable walking distance. I mean, I think it's like 3 or 4 miles. Even that one's jacked up like $165 a night. It is ridiculous. But again, as the con keeps getting bigger, they've got the ability to do that. Why?
People like us and you at Nerd Pride who are like, "Man, that was so great. I've got to bring my friends."
That's true. It's you know what I blame? To bring this question full circle, DM Darks. He's so awesome. Everybody wants to be there now.
Next listener betrayal.
Yes.
Is your refrigerator running? Are you voting fridge 2016?
Oh, that's good. Okay, see, now if you had asked me, is my refrigerator running, I would have said, yes, it is. I was going to wait for you to finish. So I would have even given you the straight man line, and then you could have given me good. Are you voting fridge 2016? I would have bought right into that. That's pretty funny.
Now, I am going to pull up a website for you, and I'm the only one who's going to get the lingo. But they're going to get the joke, too. So I'm going to pull up a website, and you're going to read me exactly what's written.
I don't want to. I'm pretty sure I'm not going to like this at all. Do you want to just tell me what it is, and I'll type it?
Click the top link.
All right. All right. Got it.
Okay. Now, in the toolbar, you're going to want to click Other once it loads.
Okay, that I'm clicking Other. Here, hold on. Let me open this up so that we can actually see the whole website. Is this not the best radio ever? God, you thought me scrolling through a Podomatic list was exciting.
If this was an actual listener betrayal, there'd be a link.
That's true.
To that one, the second one.
Okay. Right, I'm here.
And
I'm ready.
Go down to 900.
Oh man, it's a long list. Whoa. It's not that long.
They go way higher than 900.
Yes, they do. All right, hold on. There it is. 900. Got it.
Now just read it out loud, and you'll get the joke as you're reading.
Okay. So this is an SCP-900J.
Yes.
This is the very model of an SCP-900J. Oh, its object class is Keter, so we'd rather you'd stay that way. I don't get that one.
Stay away.
So follow to the letter these procedures for its keeping in. A cell at site 11 is what this creature should be sleeping in. The walls are sealed hermetically with 7-layered steel doors each, and anyone who says its name will fill their head and veins with bleach. Description of a 900J is delicate, to say the least. To put it most politely, it's a putrid planet-eating beast. SCP... This is at scpwiki.net.
It's a site for people to write their own stories about supernatural creatures. It follows the formula of name of creature, its code name, what it is, and how you keep it in.
Yeah, so SCP stands for Secure, Contain, Protect. And it is a list, a vast list of all sorts of supernatural
objects.
Yeah, some are aliens, some are... ghostly, some are, I mean, it's a wide variety of anything that you might run across, on an episode of The X-Files, it's probably in here somewhere. And
this one's one of the joke ones.
Yes. Oh, I can't continue reading this. This is a very long page. But I get it. Oh my god, this goes on forever. Wow, that
Isn't
was pretty
that
good.
Great?
That was pretty good.
Okay. That's all I got for Listener Betrayal.
All right. And then that's it for all of Listener Betrayal, unless, hold on, I left this open for just a few more minutes. Now let's go in. And nope, there's still nothing here. So I will inform
you guys next week. One more I have.
Okay, what's that?
Have you ever thought about revisiting Ghosts and Goblins?
No. Maybe.
What?
Maybe.
What if I find an emulator for it?
You don't have to find an emulator. That's just the thing. They've got the new Nintendo, the little mini Nintendo that you can buy that comes with like 40 games on it or 50 games on
it
for.
Ghosts and Goblins in
it? And Ghosts and Goblins is on there. And as much as I hate the game Ghosts and Goblins, I would play it for a little bit just to relive that nightmare of a game. And then, you know, before I actually made any real progress on it, I'd give up because I don't really have time for video games. And if I did have time for video games, it wouldn't be that one. But yeah, for those of you who played Ghosts and Goblins back when it came out for the original Nintendo Entertainment System, you know exactly what I'm talking about. That thing was incredibly tough, and you had 3 lives, and no matter how far you got into this game, after your 3 lives were up, guess what? You start over from zero. Zero. Oh, it was a nightmare. It was a torturous nightmare. Earthworm Jim, later on for Super Nintendo, did the same sort of thing, where, yeah, you had 3 lives, and you could get extra lives here and there, but once you were dead, you were dead. But for some reason, Earthworm Jim was a lot more fun to play, I actually got to the end of Earthworm Jim. Ghosts and Goblins, I never did. Never.
Unless you're pansy, but...
Right. Well, you know what? We'll buy the little mini Nintendo just so you can do that, because I want you to prove to me how much better you are than me by beating that game. Wouldn't that be awesome?
It's not that the game is... It's not that modern games are harder than past games. I'm not saying that. It's that modern games have trained minds to adaptation instead of just, oh, that did that. It's not reaction, it's adaptation to the situation.
Okay, you guys can't see me patting him on the head patronizingly, but that's what I'm doing right now. That's so adorable. Okay, we'll get it. We'll make sure, we'll do it for like Christmas or something. It'll be beautiful. We'll have a great time. All right, now that's the end. I'm going to post up done, and then I will double check the thread just in case Kaz happened to post something in that 10 seconds it took me to post up that I'm done. Nope, still nothing. Oh, man.
Hey, didn't you break a rule of your site?
What's that?
No double posting, man.
Oh, I can double post. I do it all the time. Doesn't scare me at all. All right, that's the end, guys. So, you know what? It's been great. Hopefully R2 is back next week. I'm assuming the kidnappers are just taking their time getting him around to me. But other than that, I would normally say goodnight, R2. But say goodnight, Aiden.
Goodnight!
All right. I love you guys. Come back next week. We'll have a great time then. Bye.